This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Iran describes as unacceptable a resolution passed by the European Parliament over the recent unrest in the country. Tensions on the Korean Peninsula reaching a dangerous level, with South Korea and the U.S. kicking off a new round of maritime war games. And also in our headlines, the Ukrainian president calls for preventive NATO strikes on Russia, which draws a furious response from Moscow. Hello and welcome, everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. Our top story for this half hour: the Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman has called unacceptable a resolution passed by the European Parliament over the recent unrest in the country. Nasser Kanani said the resolution bears no value as it amounts to interfering in Iran's internal affairs. He accused the European Parliament of adopting a double standard approach, saying its resolution bodes well for prejudgments toward Iran. The resolution called for EU sanctions against Iranian officials over alleged human rights violations and crackdown against protests. The demonstrations broke out in a number of Iranian cities in mid-September after the death of a young woman by the name of Mahsa Amini. The rallies then turned into riots, which Iran blamed on foreign elements. On Friday, Iran released an official forensic report into Amini's death. It said she died due to multiple organ failure caused by cerebral hypoxia, not beatings. Political commentator Firas Al-Najm says the U.S. and its allies are exploiting the death of Mahsa Amini to advance their anti-Iran agenda.
This whole issue right now, what's happening with Mahsa Amini and this problem that's happening inside Iran, you know, we know that the U.S. and their allies are exploiting this to the highest level and trying to infiltrate and trying to cause destabilization inside Iran. They are trying to weaken Iran because they have tried many ways for many years to, damage the system, to try to, take the system down, and they failed miserably. And all the Iranian people should stand against this and condemn this, and should understand that the unity of Iran and the strength of Iran is that there's no such terror attacks. But now that the U.S. has got involved, and their little puppets, such as the MKO, that also have a very, very long history of crimes and treacherous acts and working with Saddam and also committing terrorist attacks inside Iran.
Tehran has strongly criticized Denmark for its failure to ensure the security of the Iranian embassy and ambassador after an armed assailant broke into the diplomatic site. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian says it's a shame that such an attack happens against an ambassador with diplomatic impunity in the heart of Europe. The top diplomat also censured the Danish police for their belated response to the intrusion. Amir Abdullahian made the remarks in a phone call with Iran's ambassador to Denmark, Afsan Enadipour, who briefed him on the incident. According to the Iranian envoy, after trespassing on the premises of the embassy, the knife-wielding assailant started threatening the staff and causing damage to the vehicles in the parking lot. Elsewhere, delegations from the Caspian littoral states have gathered in the Russian capital to participate in the second Caspian Economic Forum. The event has become the largest platform in the post-pandemic period to discuss topics including cooperation among member states. Maria Kortanova reports from Moscow.
The second Caspian Economic Forum has been held in Moscow. During the event, issues including developing trade and economic cooperation, interaction in the field of ecology, energy, transport, and logistics were discussed. Delegations from the Caspian five littoral states, namely Russia, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Iran, and Azerbaijan, were present at the event.
The countries of the Caspian region will have to work in the current turbulent conditions of the global economy and geostrategic tensions. The West is putting increasing pressure on other countries in an attempt to maintain the existing world order.
The Caspian region possesses a significant part of the world's gas and oil reserves. It is of high significance, especially at a time when the whole world is facing an unprecedented energy crisis. The Iranian authorities came up with a new proposal to address those issues.
In order to unify and harmonize tariffs for rail, road and sea transportation, expanding trade and economic cooperation, we propose to establish a committee for cooperation in the field of transport, transit and customs business.
The Islamic Republic, given its geographical location, has very good opportunities to conduct operations in the oil and gas sector, as well as providing energy supplies to other regions. Iran has stressed the need to accelerate the unification of the country's electric power networks with those of the Caspian states.
The main purpose of this forum is boosting the economy of regional countries and to enable the Caspian states to use their opportunities to develop trade and economic cooperation, culture and tourism. Also, everyone should not only use the opportunities of the Caspian Sea, but also protect it. We are actively working in the development of the North-South Transport Corridor. The shipping lines of the Islamic Republic of Iran have allocated 300 containers for the transportation of goods to Russia.
Apart from what was said and proposed at the event, the forum also had good news for the member states. Cruise shipping on the Caspian Sea is set to begin in 2023 for the first time in history.
More than 1,000 delegates from the five Caspian Sea littoral states, as well as Belarus, Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan, have taken part in the forum. In the meeting, the participants agreed to adopt decisions to enhance all-out cooperation among countries in the Caspian region. Press TV, Moscow.
South Korea and the U.S. are conducting joint maritime drills as tensions simmer with North Korea over its ballistic missile tests. Seoul says the drills take place in waters off South Korea's east coast on Friday and Saturday. It says the war games aim to strengthen readiness to any provocations by North Korea. The USS Ronald Reagan Carrier Strike Group is taking part in the drills. It also participated in trilateral exercises with warships from Japan and South Korea on Tuesday. That's when North Korea launched a ballistic missile that overflew part of Japan. The North on Thursday launched two more ballistic missiles and flew warplanes near the border with the South. Pyongyang has condemned Washington for repositioning its aircraft carrier near the Korean Peninsula, saying it threatens stability there. The North says its launches are a countermeasure to the joint drills by the South and the U.S. Former German Chancellor Angela Merkel says sustainable peace in Europe can only be achieved if Russia is part of it, but until then, the Cold War won't really be over. Merkel added that statements by various parties to the war in Ukraine should be taken seriously and not to be classified as a bluff. From the start, she was apparently referring to recent comments made by the Russian President. Vladimir Putin warned the West that Russia would use all available means to respond to threats against its territorial integrity. Putin accused Western countries of engaging in nuclear blackmail and trying to destroy Russia. He said Moscow has enough weapons to respond. While Moscow slammed the call by the Ukrainian president for preemptive NATO strikes on Russia. Earlier, we discussed this in our News Review program. Let's see what our guests have to say about that.
In this edition, Russia reacts after Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky calls on NATO to launch preventive strikes on Russian soil. Moscow says the need for its operation in Ukraine is now highlighted even more.
By doing so, he essentially presented the world with further evidence of the threats posed by the Kiev regime. This is why a special military operation was launched to neutralize them.
Zelensky's comments drew reactions from the Kremlin spokesman as well. Dmitry Peskov called the remarks an appeal to start yet another world war with unpredictable and monstrous consequences. The Ukrainian president has told an Australian think tank that the strikes are necessary to prevent any use of nuclear weapons. He, however, has not specified the kind of strikes. Russia has in the past said that it is not considering a nuclear strike on Ukraine, but will do and will use all of its means to defend itself. To discuss that further, we're joined by Dmitry Zolotarev, a journalist who's joining us from Russia, and also Greg Simons, researcher from the Institute for Russian and Eurasian Studies from Sweden. Thanks to both of you gentlemen for joining us. Let's begin with Mr. Zolotarev from Russia. We are hearing a lot of rhetoric about the use of nukes from all sides. Zelensky is pushing NATO for preventive strikes on Russia. Putin has talked about some NATO representatives threatening the use against Russia. He has also said that Russia is not bluffing about using nukes if its territorial integrity, of course, is at risk. How serious is the risk of this war becoming a nuclear war?
I really hope that the risk is minuscule. You know, the fact Zelensky is not a president of Ukraine. He's a proxy. He's a drug addict who cannot do anything on his own. He reads by the script given him from the Washington. Washington wants the talk of nuclear disaster. That's what they want, to heat the air up in the United States and in Russia. All they want just to say that they want to removed or kill Vladimir Putin, so they want the regime change. No one really wants a nuclear disaster. Everyone understands what it means. It means the extinctions of the whole humanity. It will cause billions of death, and well, no one is going to survive a nuclear catastrophe. And saying that we are not bluffing, Vladimir Putin didn't mean nukes. He meant a really stern, strong answer to any strike on Russian territory. Vladimir Putin does possess a lot of conventional weapons he can use. So to answer appropriate, to give an appropriate answer, so to head back, and he didn't mean nukes. Nukes is the last resort of any conflict, to which I hope will never come.
So, Mr. Simon, so we heard Russia's foreign minister, Mr. Lavrov, a short while ago, warning the U.S. again about the reckless feeding of arms into Ukraine and about getting more deeply involved in the war. How much should the world be concerned about NATO taking Zelensky's call for preventive strikes seriously and becoming directly involved?
Well, I mean, as noted by your other guest, I mean, there is no coincidence in the nature and the timing of this call by Zelensky, because Zelensky has a problem. I mean, he's not master of his own destiny. He's a client of the United States, and hostage to what their aims and goals are. So he is also somewhat hostage to a declining public opinion in the West concerning Ukraine, because winter's coming, there are energy crises, there is inflation, there is all this instability caused by war, and here is Zelensky making these calls for creating a nuclear war, which implies this mutually assured destruction, because that which ruled the old Cold War in terms of logic still applies today. And Zelensky is desperate to somehow keep in the headlines. So, I mean, there are more and more calls. I mean, even Biden somehow managed to wake up out of his dementia and mention that Putin is not bluffing. So, I mean, this should be enough to try and shape at least a modicum of common sense in the West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Greg Simons, researcher at the Institute for Russian and Eurasian Studies from Sweden. Also, Dmitry Zolotarev, a journalist joining us from Russia. Thanks to both of you gentlemen for joining us on this edition of the News Review and sharing your thoughts and views with us.
A continued strike by refinery workers in France is causing problems for stations to get enough fuel supplies. The workers at several refineries have been on strike for 10 days now. That's part of a broader industrial action across France over pay and pensions as inflation continues to rise. Earlier this week, the government said it has tapped France's fuel reserves to resupply petrol stations running dry, yet people say the problems still persist.
If I don't have petrol, it simply prevents me from being able to go to work tomorrow. So I need my car to go to work. I can't take public transport as there's no metro and no transport to get to my job. So I have to wait like everyone else.
There were endless queues of cars, and then it turned out to be the same thing a little later on the road. I saw that there were signs towards Rossi as well, that there was a shortage of diesel. I said to myself, this is it. We are in the next stage where there is no more petrol. It's the first time I've seen this.
The strikes, coupled with unplanned maintenance, have taken offline more than 60% of France's refining capacity. That has forced the country to import more at the time when fuel costs have increased. The soaring energy prices have also sent inflation in other European countries to levels unseen in the past several decades. Well, the UN Development Programme released a 35-page report on Wednesday about the socioeconomic situation in Afghanistan during the past 14 months. It has warned that life inside the country has deteriorated due to new lows. The report stressed that freezing $9 billion in Afghanistan's foreign assets and international sanctions are the main factors ramping up the crisis.
The United Nations is sounding the alarm over the worsening humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan. On Wednesday, the UN Development Programme released a report on the country's economic situation since the Taliban came to power last year. According to the report, Afghanistan has suffered a catastrophic collapse in its economy, losing nearly $5 billion. The UNDP has called for efforts to support jobs and livelihoods of the Afghan people, adding that humanitarian aid alone cannot address the crisis. The report concluded that there is little prospect for any improvement without releasing the frozen assets held by the U.S. and also allowing access to international financial systems. Meanwhile, the Afghan nation complains about the harsh conditions they are facing. People claim they are falling victim to the disputes between the Taliban and the U.S., demanding the global community to stop punishing the nation. For the past years, Afghanistan's economy has been highly dependent on foreign aid. After the Taliban took power in August 2021, the U.S. and its allies froze some $9 billion in Afghanistan's central bank assets, while also halting major funding to the war-ravaged country. Afghanistan is in the midst of a humanitarian crisis. The country needs its frozen assets and global solidarity to avoid a looming catastrophe. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of the World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Quran Quest. Yes, please. Quran Quest. Answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we examine the verses of the Quran to extract the teachings with our dear and beloved Sheikh Habib. Sheikh Habib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me. It's always an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you very much. So with Brother Habib, we go through the chapters of the Quran one by one. We've started going from the end of the Quran backwards. And today we arrive on chapter 76 of the Quran, which is Al-Insan or Man. Let's listen to the first few verses and we'll be right back for the discussion. Don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا.
Has there not come upon man a period of time when he was not a thing even mentioned?
إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا.
Indeed, we created man from a sperm drop mixture, that we may try him, and we made him hearing and seeing.
Inna hadaynahu as-sabila imma shakiran wa imma kafura.
Indeed, we guided him to the way, be he grateful or be he ungrateful.
Welcome back. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to a few verses from the beginning of chapter 76 of the Quran, Al-Insan, or Man. So just before we start talking about the first verse, which is an interesting verse, let's talk about the nomenclature, whether it's Meccan or Medinese, and any other general information we need about this verse.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The famous narration about this chapter or this surah is that it is a Madaniyan chapter. The reason behind it is the story of Imam Hassan alayhi salam and Imam Hussein with the grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and the servant Fidda, and Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam and Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, which we will talk about inshallah ta'ala in the coming verses. And it pretty much talks about their story. And when did Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam marry Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam? He married her after the migration towards Medina. And there's also a couple of words such as captives, which pretty much point out to that there were captives in this scenario or in this environment, which is pretty much after Medina, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any captives during his time in Mecca, but rather when he started to wage wars, or where wars were raged during the Islamic uprise in the lifespan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi in Medina.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much.
Of course, there are some, just to add to this, that we have Sunni scholars such as As-Suyuti and Al-Itqan and other books, as well as various Sunni interpreters who state that this chapter, all of them narrate that from Ibn Abbas, that this chapter is Madaniyan, or at least the first 18 verses of it are Madaniyan. There are some, unfortunately, people who are kind of hard-headed, who claim that this chapter is Makkiyan. And we will talk more about that, inshallah ta'ala, and what they claim.
And just so as long as we're here, like 1 minute, what is the significance for us right now in this chapter to know whether it's Madani or Mecca?
First of all, the merits of Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam here, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam. There's something I want to talk about when we reach these verses about Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi as-salam. Other than that just understanding the situation of the verses. Why is it, for example, stating this punishment or this reward? Why is it stating this and that?
Mm-hmm.
Which pretty much aids us in understanding the verses. The environment is very important. The context of it is important.
So it assists us in understanding the verses correctly and with the approach we take for our interpretation.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. Let's take a break right now, and we'll be back just after the break for the first verse of this chapter. Don't go away. الحمد لله سبحان الله 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 الحمد لله والشكر لله على ما هدانا سبحان الله 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 الحمد لله. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, and we are on verse 1 from chapter 76 of the Quran, Al-Insan. The first verse begins by making us humble, a bit modest about ourselves, bringing us down from that place where we call ourselves mankind, the greatest being on earth. It says that, has there come upon man a span of time in which he was a thing unremembered? Now, I'm not quite sure if unremembered here means that people knew we existed and then they forgot because of how insignificant we were, or that we didn't exist at all and life was just going on, everything was fine without us.
Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to introduce human beings' road or journey towards their purpose of life. And it starts off with the fact that كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مَعْهُ شَيْءٍ. This is, of course, in the Shia interpretation, the Shia ideology. There are some philosophers who are against this idea, but it's available in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam. And it's an authentic saying from Imam Sadiq alayhi as-salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was existent and there was nothing with him.
Mm-hmm.
So human beings had this period where even before the creation of time, let's call it, even before the creation of place, human beings were non-existent. And there came a time where there were creations and human beings were still not existing. As this verse states, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wanted, He created. There was a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want the creation of human beings, And there was a precise time where in his wisdoms that Allah created him, or created them. So it became in his knowledge, it was in his knowledge that there is going to be mankind, but it was not known to the angels, it was not known to the rest of the creations. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings. And like how you stated it out, because such verses usually we, especially those in the seminary, we usually take them to theology side, aspects of it. But look, let's look at it as a moral aspect. The moral aspect is like how you said. We see ourselves as something as a phenomenal being, something so big, something with high status and high prestige and whatnot. At the end of the day, we were nothing.
Mm-hmm. You're not that special. Basically, that's what it's trying to say. And this is it a rhetorical question or is it actually asking us something?
Yeah, it's like you could interpretate it or translate it in this manner. You could say, has there not come upon man a period of time when he was nothing or even mentioned? Or you could say, a long period of time has passed over man when he was non-existent.
Yeah. So remember that meaning? You didn't exist all the time and everything was just fine. You're not that special.
Yeah.
And then the next verse goes on to remind us of how unspecial we are. Truly, we created man from a drop of mixed fluid that we may test him, and we endowed him with hearing, seeing. So the question about question for me here is, when we're talking about hearing and seeing, is God pointing out to the blessings that He gave us, or are these the tools that or the means for testing us?
Exactly, that's the thing. And that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala started off by the journey of mankind towards their purpose of life, and for them to that they have to exist. When they exist, they have to have the right instruments. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is the one that showed the path. And we will talk about that, inshallah ta'ala, in the coming verses. And we've talked about it when we say Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He shows the path for human beings, He shows it either by takwini, creating things, or by, for example, by sending messengers, which we will talk about. Well, there's a specific verse about that. Or by putting it in our innate. And
Putting in a hardwire
in our nature. Exactly, in our nature. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He gave us the tools. What are the tools? Our hearing and our seeing, these senses that we have, these are tools that we use for the purpose of our life. And from where did it come from? From this fluid. Jalla al-Khaliq, Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be glorified He, created human beings with the power to hear and listen from bone, from fat.
From fluid. And I think this verse is like, you can talk about this for ages because it's talking about God's power. I mean, how that fluid turns into all of this, how it's also a means for testing. There's a lot to talk about. But let's move on. We're going to take a break and then we're going to move on to the next verse, inshallah. Of course, you can always visit the exegesis for this. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. We're here talking to Brother Habib, going through the verses of the Quran and learning from them. And we're now on verse 3 of chapter 76. So in the previous verse, God says that he's explaining to us that we're not so special. We shouldn't think that the world would stop without us or anything special would happen if we don't exist.
You're not the center of the universe.
Exactly. You're not the center of the universe in some manner. And then he's explaining to us that we came from this base fluid and we have hearing and sight for us to perceive the truth. Then God says, truly we guided him upon the way. Be he grateful or ungrateful. Now, I'm imagining that part of this guidance is the hearing and seeing that we have. But my question here is, what does it mean to be grateful or ungrateful to God's guidance, subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He states shukura, means that you are thankful, grateful for the blessings that He bestowed upon you. And how do you do such things? How do you show your gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By following His orders, by submitting to His orders, by submitting to Him. And how do you become ungrateful? By disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by not submitting to Him, by seeing yourself as something in front of Him, by showing yourself pride in front of the eyes and laws of Allah subhanahu wa
Being
ta'ala.
Being arrogant towards God subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also this verse has been been used vastly in the topic of theology, about the topic of free will and philosophy as well.
And that's a topic by itself. And again, let's leave out the theology aspects of this verse. And again, let's go back to the moral aspects of it.
So the best way for someone to demonstrate their gratefulness is to put something to use.
Yes.
To practice it.
Again, when you say, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا, I said, let's leave out the free will topic about jabr and tafweel and whatnot. Let's talk about the moral aspects of it. When we look at the moral aspects, you yourself are the one that caused yourself to be rewarded with paradise. You are the one that that caused yourself to be punished. It's your actions. You are the one, not your father, not your grandfather, not your mother, not your brothers, not your sisters, not your cousins, not the community, not society, you.
It's your decision.
Your decision. You choose your life. You choose your path. There are some things that get out of hand and are out of our hands, true. But at the end of the day, it comes back down to us. Our actions are what we create for the future. Are what will be what will illustrate our hereafter.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And it's like when you give someone a gift, and the best way for them to say thank you to you is when you see them use that gift.
Exactly.
And so here, when God is giving us guidance and the tools for guidance, what does it mean to be grateful with our hearing and seeing? Does it mean that we should?
It doesn't precisely say that you should be grateful with your only with your hearing and your seeings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing up an example of the, you know, the tools that He gave to human beings on the previous verse. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that be grateful altogether with all your actions.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yeah.
And like how we said, it's in other words, that the meaning of you know, shakura is actually, you know, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following His orders and being fearful of Him. Of course, at the end of the day, when you want to be grateful for the hearing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, do not listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, such as backbiting, you know, music and singing to the extent of the prohibitions. And for example, your eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you your eyes. Do not look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, and do not use them in any manner. Use them in a great way, in a good way. For example, crying for the sake of Abi Abdullah alayhi salam.
All right, thank you very much, dear brother. So we learned today that human beings shouldn't think of themselves as too special, as if the world wouldn't exist without them. No, the world won't miss anything if humans don't exist. And this is what God is telling us, and that He has given us the tools and the means for us to be guided for the test that we are here for. And it's up to us whether we use that guidance or not. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always nice talking to you. I'm afraid that's all the time that we have. But if you missed it, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this program and all our previous episodes from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
News, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
FLIPI2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to afloat. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, But one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance cost.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths, and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio, Coming up is the news.